First Corinthians chapter 4, if we would. First Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to dial in on this first phrase in this verse. Let a man so account of us. Let a man so account of us. Could you read that with me? Let a man so account of us. I want us to think about that. As of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Do a work in the service like only you can do. And I pray, God, that you remind us that it is all about you, never all about us. And help us, Lord, to continue to do our part till Jesus comes. We love you and thank you for your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We ended chapter number 3 with the thought getting involved in the work of God. Before that, we discussed how clearly the work of God is God's work. In other words, when we're around it, we're privileged to be in it, but the power comes from God. And it's important to understand that God does the work. Somebody plants and somebody waters, but God gives the increase. Amen. There's too much contending going on in the world today about who can save you and who can change you and who can fix you and who can get your life straight and what church will get you straight and what man will affect your life and what influence will get you on the right path. And we thank the Lord for the instruments that God uses. And we thank the Lord for the people that God fills. And we thank the Lord for the vessels that God anoints. But let's not let any of that distract us from the unchanging fact that the work of God is a work that God does. Amen? And so God does the increase. And he challenges us to get involved. God builds us. And so he tells us that we should be involved in building people, reminding us we're his building, we're God's field. And as God does the work, we are so privileged to work with him. Amen. Aren't you glad you get to work with God every single day? Why would you pass on that? I mean, there are people all over the world that are just dreaming for a chance to work with somebody and to work for somebody and to work in some place. I've heard people say, my dream job is to work here. My dream job is to work for him. My dream job is to work in that department. I'm telling you, I'm living my dream job. I get to work with God. What a blessing. And so we want to get involved in the people building business. Our functional togetherness as we work with God. The foundational truths is that grace they just sang about has been given to us not to waste, but to enable us to build people. So Paul says, I've received this assistance from God. And this assistance from God allows me to do activity for God. I must use the grace of God to build people. Between this Sunday and last Sunday, what individual did you build up? Or did you just go to the bank of grace and withdraw this huge amount of grace to use it up on yourself? God will take good care of you, but God blesses you so that you can take care of somebody else. The final test, when God will judge us. Please, context is important. The emphasis here is building up people. And so the test is going to be on how good of a job we did at building up people. Amen. You're not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ as a choir member and have Jesus have you sing through a line of the soul and hear how many notes you hit on too. God is not going to make you usher, walk up the aisle and make your sharp turn and see how close to a sharp degree of a turn that you made. How well did you pass the offering plate? Was your tie straight? Were your shoes shining? Did your pocket square matching? Did your socks coordinate with your belt? Oh, no. God wants to find out how much grace you got and how much of that grace you received and used it to build up somebody. You are here tonight in church on a Sunday night because somebody withdrew the grace of God and used that withdrawal for the express purpose of building up your life. A bunch of saved people don't come to church on Sunday night. It's not because they hate church. It's not because they love sin. It's because no one has ever built them up to come to church on Wednesday night. You got in on it. Now do it for somebody else. This is the goal. Building up people. We would be so much more fulfilled if we pour our lives into people. And so this final test, this favored temple, we are the temple of God. God has chosen to indwell in us, to place his spirit in us. Aren't you glad that this sinful flesh has a battle against the spirit that it cannot win? The flesh can't beat the spirit unless you yield to the flesh. Amen. You don't have to sin. You don't have to displease God. God lives inside of you. Somebody say amen. God lives inside of you. God has favored me as his temple. The foolish thinking, how knowing all of that, we should think differently than the world. Not get caught up on worldly wisdom. Not deceive ourselves. Not think that the wisdom of the world is stronger than the wisdom of God. Knowing that the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. And knowing that the Lord knows how to bring the world's wisdom to naught. Amen. And therefore, knowing that the man's wisdom cannot compete with God's wisdom, nobody should glory in man. Amen. Amen. Look up to people, honor people, respect people, be thankful for people. Listen to me. You should never forget the people who have poured into your life. I said you should never forget the people that have poured in your life. Don't get so spiritual that you forget somebody found you when you were carnal. Amen. Don't get so happy that you're in the house of God. Remember, you didn't love God. You didn't serve God. And you didn't know God. Somebody sat down and opened the Bible and broke it down. Somebody poured into you and loved on you and travailed in birth again with you, Galatians, until Christ was formed in you. Somebody taught you how to tithe and taught you how to pray and taught you how to soul win. Somebody taught you how to do right. Somebody taught you how to come to church and taught you how to go to the altar and taught you how to do those things. Don't you ever forget who did things in your life, but make sure that you do not elevate those individuals to the level that only God should dominate. We are grateful for people, but we glory only in God. And then he further states his case by telling us why we shouldn't glory in the people. Because everything belongs to us, thanks to God. Amen. No matter the who's, they're ours. No matter the where's, it's ours. No matter the what's, it's ours. No matter the when's, it's ours. Amen. When you know God, God has placed everything under your feet. Somebody say amen. Everything is ours. It doesn't mean we can do anything we want to. It just means that nothing supersedes us. The world can't control us. Death can't control us. Life can't control us. Now a future can't control us. We belong to God. We belong to Christ. And Christ is God's instrument, God's mediator. Christ has us. And God has led Christ. And we're all working together for his glory. Now, in verse number 1 of chapter 4, please understand the challenge of the church of Corinth is these senseless divisions, unnecessary cliques in the church. And he ends chapter number 3 dealing with the work of God. He begins chapter number 4 with this statement, let a man so account of us. There are several different definitions of account. The definition I want you to gather tonight in your mind is the word consider. The definition of account, analyze. The definition of account, to formulate. Let a man so account of us. Paul is dealing with the work of God. He's dealing with this word ministry. And he's going to say that over and over and over and over again in 1 Corinthians, in all of these chapters, ministry, ministry, ministry. He's even going to get to 2 Corinthians and use the word ministry. It is a word that we hear often. And so when Paul says, let a man so account of us, He's talking about ministry. This is how I want you to formulate in your mind ministry. This is how I want you to consider in your mind ministry. This is how I want you to examine in your mind ministry. Here's the problem. The reason why they had so many cliques is because they did not understand the concept of ministry. I think it's a problem in this day and age. People go to church every week. They don't understand ministry. They come into a building. There's a man standing behind a pulpit, and he's in charge, right? You know he's in charge. He's got a robe on. You know he's in charge. He's got 3, 4, 5 bodyguards. He's got to be. You know he's in charge. He's got a chauffeur. You know he's in charge. He walks around assuredly as if he's in charge. Listen to me. That is the formulation in many people's minds of ministry. Come on. They pull up to a building every week. They walk into an overcrowded facility only to sit there and look at a screen. And they're looking at a screen because somewhere in another city, their pastor is standing in a building with a crowd of people that are actually looking at him. But the church is so big and he's got such a large following, this crowd has to come to another facility and watch this man on a screen because his popularity is so large they can't even meet him. And that's their mind in ministry. And they're so enamored by him that he can stand up and tell them a bold-faced lie and they'll believe it. How much will they believe it, Pastor? They'll go make a loan on their house because that man says so. There are some of them who have sent more money to a man they've never met than you have tithed to a church you're at every week. And they think they understand ministry. And because of that, they are more hung up on the man they follow than the master that saved them. So when he begins 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with this statement, let a man so account of us. He comes into these Christians who were wallowing around in carnality, just aspiring to be hooked up to this group and bragging about this man and announcing their allegiance to this man and proud of their loyalty to this man. Paul looks at all of them and says, you want me? You want Peter? You want Apollos? You want this guy? Hey, before you go bragging on who we are, let me break it down who we are. So tonight I'm going to give you this thought for all of us. How to view ministry. When I walk into Crossroads Baptist Church and I look up at the platform to a man that is my pastor, how do I view him? When I pull up to a parking lot and put my car in the space on a parking lot, or if you park here, just put your car somewhere on the parking lot. Because it don't take about 3 minutes round spaces. We'll just get you on here because if you're on the lot, you won't get no tickets. And you tell people, I go to church, that church. And they explain to you, what do you mean you go to church? What do you mean you're a member of a church? What do you mean you're involved in church? What do you mean you're a ministry leader at church? Here's Paul's going to help us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, how to view church, how to view ministry, how to view pastors. Wait a minute, help us now. How to view ourselves. Because if our viewpoint, our estimation, watch this now, if our accounting of ministry is not biblical, watch this now, then our association with men will be problematic. You understand? If I don't understand what a pastor is according to the word of God, then my relationship with him practically oftentimes will elevate the man that God created over the God that created him. And I will be more loyal to my pastor than I am to the Holy Ghost that called him. Amen. Amen. The Savior that died for him and the God that loved him. Somebody help me preach. How to view ministry. I'm going back up there in a minute. This is not only a problem that exists in heretical churches. Like there are churches that preach the Bible that don't have this down. What, please listen. It is possible for me to mount a pulpit every single Sunday and rightly divide the word of God while at the same time instructing you either directly or indirectly to worship me.
Well, come on. Yes, sir.
Huh? Well, what's the problem with worshiping you? Number one, you only worship God. I mean, that's biblical. But the practical problem with worshiping me is when I flaw, and I will, you'll quit serving God because you're worshiping the wrong person. The practical benefit of worshiping God is when I fail and I will, you still serve God because you ain't worshiping me. Somebody help me. You're worshiping God. Now, you ought to respect your pastor. You ought to. I did when I had a pastor. He happened to be my dad. That wasn't his fault. Amen. So that wasn't his fault. What do you mean? I mean, when the church honored the pastor, I honored the pastor too. Amen. It wasn't his fault. He was my pastor and my dad. If I had another pastor, I'd honor my pastor and my dad. So I honored my pastor and my dad. It was the same person. Amen. He sowed the word of God. Yes, he paid the bills at home, but he also gave the food at church. And thank the Lord for a man of God that will labor in the word and deliver it as God has given to you. Amen. But there's a strong distinction between that and worshiping him. And Paul led the campaign in lowering the bar of worship of men. Here's what he was trying to convince them. If you wouldn't rank us so high, then you wouldn't be caught up in them silly cliques. Because you would never demote your mind to be more proud of hooking up with a man than you were to be hooked up with the master. That was the introduction. Good news, we're coming back to this every week, so I don't have to. Let me give you just a little bit longer till I look over there at my wife. And then I'll close. Point number one. She loved me to finish early on Sunday nights for years. When she started homeschooling, and she really loved me to finish Sunday. So I'm gonna hurry up, relatively speaking. Now listen, write this down. Right classification. How to view ministry. It requires right classification. He's gonna use two words in verse number one that every single child of God who is laboring within the confines of the local church must understand. Two terms. Are you listening? The first term is the word ministers, and the second term is the word stewards. Come on, let's say them with me. Word number one. Word number two. All right, now that's what you are. That's what I am. Well, I thought you were a pastor. I am. But I'm a sorry one if I don't understand minister and steward. Well, I'm a deacon. Well, you ain't no good one if you're not a minister and a steward. Well, I'm in charge of this ministry. Well, you shouldn't be if you're not a minister and a steward. Don't get quiet. I'm still preaching the Bible. Now, number one, right classification, employed servant. look here. Go on the computer tonight and just Google a church. And when you put in there church, put this after it. Church where I can instantly become a minister. And you'll find plenty of them. For all of you men in here that want to be labeled minister, tonight, there's plenty of churches around here. You walk in there and announce to them that you got a resemblance of preaching you, and you'll go out for the end of the service being labeled a minister. The problem is the definition of that term minister is colloquial. The definition of this term minister is scriptural. And we have given a lot of people the term minister who are not living the function minister. Amen. You can go up to the hospital tonight and pull in and park in a spot that says medical doctor. That don't make you one. Amen. Now everybody driving by will think you're a doctor because your car's there. But nobody in that building wants you working on them unless you are a functional doctor and not just a fake one. Amen. Paul said, let me tell you what minister is. It's not about which way my collar is flipped. It's not about how I sit on the platform. It's not about the parking space with my name on it. It's not about the degrees represented by the plaques on my wall. Ministry is about being a servant. Huperetes, it is in the Greek. Write it down. H-U-P-E-R-E-T-E-S. Huperetes. It literally means an under rower. An under rower. An under rower. Can I give you this and I'll let you go home? I feel my wife. Listen. Huperetes. Paul understood what it was like to be in Rome. In Rome, he'd go down to these sea galleys, if you would, where there were bodies of water, where ships were lined up. I want you to picture Paul's mindset of these ships that were being rowed. As he approached these galleys, I want you to picture a slave master, probably sitting back in his chair like this, just giving orders. Faster, faster, move it, faster, slower, slower, move it, faster, move it. I want you to picture an overseer walking down, if you would, those planks with a whip in his hand. Cracking it. Move it. Move it. Move it. He's hearing the orders of the master and he's executing them as an overseer. Move it. Cracking that whip. Move it. Move it. Move it. I want you to picture somebody on the sidelines beating a drum. Boom. 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 And they're to be rowed in concert with that drum. Boom. 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 We're rowing. Watch this now. With every stroke is to be done in rhythm to match the drum. The drum is matching the master and the master is having it executed by the overseer. Now watch this now. There's a master sitting back calling shots. There's an overseer whipping people into obeying what the master's calling. There's a drum beater that's establishing the rhythm of the row. And then there's some slave rowing. No clout. No authority. Call no shots. They row as they're told. Boom, 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 boom. You can hear that flap moving. I mean, all of them rowing at the same time. Boom, boom. Can move it backward. Boom, 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 boom. You can't get all of them to row at the same time unless they're listening to the same drum. You can't get them to drum at the same time unless he's getting the same overseer's orders. And he ain't getting the right orders by the overseer unless he's listening in tune with the slave master. Paul said, I want you to picture, church, when you look up at Paul, I'm not the master sitting back. I'm not the overseer cracking the whip. I'm not even the drum beater keeping the rhythm. I'm just a measly old under rower. Next time you come to church, remember who you are. You're not beating the drum. You don't keep this thing going, and neither do I. Amen. You know, listen, let me tell you something. I'd be more faithful in my service if I realized it can last without me. Come on now. Listen, we don't want anybody to leave the church. We don't want anybody to walk away from God. But we are not going to throw a funeral on the work of God because you quit. It was going before you got here. It'll be going when you're left. It was going before I got here. It'll be, listen to me, Crossroads Baptist Church has a pastor and God has placed me here. But Crossroads Baptist Church doesn't need me to pastor to do the work of God. God's beating the drum. God's sitting back calling the shots. And God's the overseer. We just under rowers. Amen. Amen. Is that good, honey? All right. So why in the world are you bragging on Cephas and bragging on Apollos and Paul's thinking and bragging on me? We ain't nobody. All we do is listen to the master as he informs us through the overseer and we stay on rhythm by the drum beater. And until Jesus comes, we're just going to row. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, that'll keep you busy till Jesus comes. I'd love to tell you about the steward, but we'll do it next time. Because God, through the Spirit, through my wife, said, close, 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 close. Amen. God not only knows how to encourage us up when we're low, But the same God knows how to bring us down when we're high. And may God help us to leave the building shedding all of our titles that make us think we're somebody and embracing the wonderful function that God has given us through the local church. We are ministers, simple under rowers, marching to the beat of our master. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for being good. We ought to be glad that you let us row. We're so hung up on titles sometimes. And clout. And recognition. And applause. And praise of men. And Paul had to take the church of Corinth and go back to classifying ministry the Bible way. It's even way worse now. We got more titles than we can keep up with. We got a bunch of titles and not enough servants. From the top to the bottom, help us to row until Jesus comes. In his name. Amen. Standing together all over the building.